Hello everyone, welcome. My name is Mehmet Küçükköz. I'm a program manager in media platform team in Windows. I've been responsible for the camera platform functionality in Windows 8 and now 8.1. This session is building apps that use the camera in 8.1. And I want to start with a quick agenda here. First, I want to introduce you to a brand new feature that we have in 8.1 that will allow you to never miss the right moment when you take pictures. We call it photo sequence. Then we're going to dive into our capture APIs, start from scratch, and build a couple of very quick applications and see, let you get familiar with the APIs. Then we're going to talk about a little bit more about 8.1 and new camera controls that we are introducing. And then we will discuss how you can extend the APIs that we have with the custom components that you might be interested in writing. We'll touch on how to modify the capture pipeline to get the most out of it if the default settings and default configuration is not working for you. And finally, I will share some additional tips for an app that would be using the camera so that it gets along nice with the rest of the system and the other applications that might need the camera. But really, I want to leave you with the feeling that the capture APIs are really easy to use and you can build innovative applications with these APIs. And what you should care is that the knowing that the using camera in apps increases user engagement and personal connection, which are obviously keys to writing great apps that sell. So let's start with photo sequence. This is a picture of my dog, Mona. Mona is a great dog, just like any other dog. She doesn't know when I want to take a picture of her. And my wife and I, we love her, and we take a lot of pictures of her. But the problem is, as I said, she never knows. And so she's not standing still for the picture taking and posing. So the moment is never right. When I try to capture that moment when she does something interesting, something cute, I'm either too late or too early. And so that moment has passed, and it's irrecoverable at that point, right? And I think for those of you who have kids, I think would know this feeling the best. So it took me 10 times to take this picture where she was directly looking at the camera. Or consider this situation where you have, you're telling your friend, I'm going to take a picture of you while you're acting like you're jumping over this bridge. It's a pretty common scenario, right? And you say, okay, jump, really, this is what you're trying to capture. What you usually end up with is this. We believe with photo sequence, you're going to be able to get over this issue. Photo sequence will allow you to take multiple pictures in rapid fashion. So it's kind of like a burst mode that you're familiar with from some consumer electronic products and cameras. But it's not just a burst picture mode. It gives you pictures even before the trigger time. We'll talk about how to do that later. Let's quickly see a demo of that. Okay. So here I have a camera application that I've written. It's using the photo sequence. And because I don't have Mona, I brought a good friend of hers. And she's going to assist us. So my dog is moving. I'm trying to capture a cute moment. Right? And I took the picture. It presented me with the picture that corresponded to the trigger time. But in addition to that, it gave me a bunch of future pictures, as well as pictures that correspond to the trigger time. So if I feel like one of those is a better one, then I would be going with that. Now, what's happening here, let's quickly analyze. There's a timeline, and interesting moments in life are happening, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And user clicks on the shutter button and intended to take this frame, capture this moment, 4. But because of the delay of the user reacting to the moment, pressing the shutter, the software lag, the stack lag, the OS lag, as well as the hardware lag, and not to even mention the exposure time that is required to capture that moment, usually what you end up with is number 6, right? So that is the trigger photo most of the time, you know, before this feature. Now, with this feature, it's a burst mode, as I said, so it's giving you a bunch of pictures after the trigger time, too, as well as a bunch of pictures before the trigger time, so you can capture that right movement and go with that one. Now, let's take a step back and talk about the media capture APIs. This is kind of a quick introduction to our APIs and namespace. So capture APIs are part of the Windows.media namespace. Underneath, it's called capture, we have two sets of APIs, camera capture UI and media capture API. Now, camera capture UI is really what you would use if you're not really interested in the experience of taking the picture or recording video. Your value add, the value add of the app that you're writing is to do something with it afterwards, right? So you don't want to spend your energy in the experience of taking the picture or recording video. What you do is, what the users do is very similar to picking photos or videos from the file system. It's a built-in camera control with predefined user workflow. You don't need to do anything. All you're given is a picture or a video as a result. Whereas with the media capture APIs, you can do way more than this. You get to control, you get to write more code, but you get to control every pixel on the screen. So you can customize that user experience and workflow if your scenario requires that. Now let's quickly see how we can use these APIs in a very basic way. What I have here is a new project file in Visual Studio, and I quickly added a button that will take the picture, and I added an image element that will display the image. So when the button is clicked, let's go to that function call. All I need to do is call camera capture UI. Well, first of all, define it, of course. Okay, so I created my camera capture UI. Now, this UI, once I launch it, it will return me a file, right? So I need to store that somewhere. Let's call that storage file. Now, I would need to call this UI asynchronously, so let's wait on that. I call capture file async on my dialog. Now, I need to provide a mode for this UI before it's launched up. I can, let's see what I have as an option. I can call it with a photo mode, photo or video mode, or a video mode, right? So I'll just call it with photo. And then I will check if this file actually exists. And now all I need to do is assign the file to the image element that I created earlier. And for that, I'm going to use a code snippet, which is pretty simple, that creates a bitmap image and then assigns it to the image element. Now, one thing I should not forget to do, however, is to go to the capabilities and define access to microphone and webcam, allow access so that my application can get that. Now let's run this. Click on the button. It launches my camera capture UI. I take a picture. I like it. And it assigns it to the image element. Very simple, right? So you didn't have to write any UI code from the picture-taking perspective. Now, what else can you do with the camera capture UI? You can specify a quality for the photos and videos. Well, I mean, if you need to transfer these media types over the network, you probably prefer to have low-quality versions of those. You can limit the time. So you can take video also, obviously, with the UI. You can limit the time on the return video so you can make sure that the experience is exactly the way you want. You can specify a fixed aspect ratio or a size for photo. And an example for this would be if you are building profile pictures and you would prefer all of them to be similar to each other. So you want 1:1 aspect ratio, for example. You would specify this before calling the camera capture UI, and the camera capture UI would force the user to crop it to a 1:1 aspect ratio. So as far as you're concerned as a developer, what you get is what you asked for in the beginning. Now, users, in return, will be able to cycle through different cameras. So if the scenario requires the back camera or the front camera, they'll be able to do that through the UI. They can turn on a timer, of course, so that they can position themselves before taking the picture or recording the video. And they can also adjust the camera settings like brightness and contrast so they can fine-tune the picture that they are taking for the light conditions that they are in at that point. Okay, so what if, so camera capture UI, great. What if we wanted to do a little bit more than that? We want to change the experience and influence the experience of picture taking. So consider this. What I want to do is, you know, the background of my app, I want this to be this picture, and I want to overlay the video feed from the camera on the screen portion of this picture, you know, just the start for my app. And let's see how we can do this. So I will open my second project. From a UI perspective, I haven't really done much. Again, there's an image that holds the background image. I also specified a capture element that if you would look at this UI, you would see it's aligned perfectly with the screen of the laptop over there. Okay. So what I want is, when I launch this application, I want the video feed to be fed into the capture element. And the way I do that is I start with media capture MC. New media capture. I defined my capture manager. Now I will asynchronously initialize this. Now, I could use the default settings, or I could specify more initialization parameters. In this case, I'm just going to go with the defaults. And the next thing is, well, that capture element was called video feed. The video feed, the source of the video feed will point to my manager. And finally, I'm ready to start the preview. That's it. See what happens. There you go. So it's really simple, only a couple of lines of code, but I'm able to satisfy my scenario. And I can go ahead with this and take pictures and record video and do more, of course. Now, using the media capture APIs, you can also do audio-only capture. Here we have some JavaScript code. Really, what's happening here is, in this line, I'm creating a profile using an MP4 as a baseline, or actually, what is it, M4A, and specifying a medium quality, right? And then I need to hold this file, the audio file, after it's being recorded somewhere. So I'm going to record it on the music library. And then finally, I call my function to start recording with the encoding profile and the file itself. Now, what else can you do with these media capture APIs? You can support various formats like MP4, WMV, M4A, MP3, WMA, and additional formats are possible through our extensibility model, which we will talk about soon. You can also have an optional prepare stage for images and videos so that you can prepare the encoding parameters, especially on the video side of the things, so that the video starts faster. You can change various encoding settings, so you can influence the specifics of the bit rate and bunch of other things that you would need to in certain scenarios. You can programmatically control camera and mic settings like brightness, contrast, and volume. Now, with the camera capture UI, the users will be able to do that through the UI, whereas here, with the media capture APIs, you can programmatically control. Or you can enable some custom scenarios. If none of the built-in APIs that we are providing do not allow you to build what you really want, you can write some custom code, as I mentioned. We'll talk about that. Now, remember that photo sequence that we talked about earlier. So let's analyze that in code. So it lives off of the windows.media.capture namespace, of course. And I specify my manager here. So here's it's getting interesting. First of all, I need to check if my device is supporting this specific feature, photo sequence. Not all hardware is going to support, and we're working with our ecosystem for increasing the support for this feature, which we believe is going to really shine and really influence the camera experiences. But at this point, at preview time frame, there isn't an hardware that is available for you that lights this feature up. So you check the feature for support, and then all you need to do is prepare with a JPEG encoding parameter profile, and that's it. The next stage is also registering for an event that will be called when the picture is ready, and we'll see that in the next slide. And then finally, you're ready. You say start, and then the pictures will being taken at that point. Now, retrieving the pictures, that function call that you registered earlier, there is an argument here that holds a lot of the things, so pay attention to that, photo captured events arguments. Well, I'm going to get this picture. I need to save it somewhere. I'm going to save it in the pictures library, so I create an empty file there, and then copy the args.frame, which is holding the image, onto that file. And then when I'm ready to finish the photo sequence, I call finish asynchronously on it. And then we should not forget to unregister the handler function too. Now, as we said, the photo sequence allows you to take pictures that are even before the trigger time. And the way this works is because the hardware is, when you are in photo sequence mode, taking pictures already before the trigger time. And what it does is when the user triggers it, it returns a bunch of past pictures to the application. If you choose to do so, you can get a bunch of future pictures too. Now, let's see how you would do that. Well, first of all, check how many pictures the hardware will be able to support as past frames. In this case, I want 4, and that's all I want to check. So if the condition is satisfied, I'm going to specify 4. And then how do I know, what picture, because I have a function call that processes every picture. How do I know if a picture is before the trigger time or after the trigger time? So we have a time offset that will tell you if it is a future frame or an older frame. Okay, so one other functionality that we have that is useful for photo sequence, but in general useful, that we added in 8.1 is thumbnail support for images. And the way you would enable this is it just lives off of the photo, and you just turn on the thumbnail enable to true. You specify a size for the thumbnail. In this case, it's the width of my image. And then I call the function that takes the picture, right? I wait for it. I create a bitmap that will hold all of this. And then finally, if I want to save the original file, which is living off of the photo.frame, I save the original file. But I get to display the thumbnail, so the performance is greatly improved from a UI perspective. Okay, so with photo sequence, as you can see, you can achieve true zero shutter lag. You can directly choose the right picture that the user intended to take. The other functionality, the part of the photo sequence that we are providing for you, is you're able to query the number of frames that the hardware is able to do at that given moment. The importance of this is that, so we're taking a bunch of pictures in a burst mode, right? And the number of pictures that you can take will vary greatly on the lighting conditions. And so you may choose to turn off your scenario if at that given moment with the lighting conditions you're not able to take enough pictures. So this functionality allows you to do that. Again, this does require for device and driver support, so you would need to check that whenever you write the app. Now, let's switch to some more new functionality that we have in 8.1 camera controls. Now, most of the time, when we take pictures or record video, automatic settings, auto settings work for us pretty well. But there's always room for improvement with auto settings. The image processing algorithms can only do so much. If you specify, if you provide more input to it, they will be able to do better jobs. So we are introducing with 8.1 a scene mode where the user can choose the characteristics of the scene, so the imaging algorithms can do a better tuning mode. We are adding more focus functionality, more parameters into the focus functionality, so that the more advanced users will be able to take even interesting pictures. The other important one that we're introducing here is region of interest. And the way to think about this is that, again, the imaging algorithms usually average out everything in the frame. But that's not always the case. That's not always the intention of the user, right? The user might be interested in a specific portion of the picture, of the scene, want to optimize for that, right? So you can point out, you can specify a rectangle with this feature and say focus to be applied to that area, white balance or exposure to be applied to that area. This is enabling the touch-to-focus scenario. Some other additional controls, we did have some of these things, but now we improved them and made them also asynchronous so that you know when the call is completed, so programmatically you can take the next action. Before they were synchronous. So we have ISO, we have some new modes in flash, red eye reduction. We also have a new video torch, which allows you to have a light source when you record the video. Another one that we have here is something called optimization hint. Talking to our hardware partners, we heard this feedback a lot. Our APIs allow you to take a picture or record a video without specifying a mode. Your app doesn't have to be in a mode. You can do both. But what our friends in the hardware business is saying is that by specifying, if it is possible for your scenario, by specifying a choice over one or the other, they can fine-tune the sensor and the camera to take better pictures or better video, whichever you provide. This does not mean that just because you specify this, you're not going to be able to do the other. But it allows you to concentrate on the scenario that you really care. If 80% of your scenarios that you're enabling with your photo, with your application, is taking pictures, specify the hint so that you can get even better pictures. Okay, in code, all of these are living off of the video device controller, So all you need to do is check if that controller that you're interested in or that control that you're interested in is supported, and if so, turn it on. Okay. We believe that the APIs that we have in the media.capture namespace allow you to satisfy 80% of the scenarios. But we know that you want to innovate, and there's always things that we weren't able to anticipate or be able to put into the APIs. In those cases, you would like to write custom code. And the way you could do a lot of things with these this extensibility model that we have. You can incorporate effects into the preview image or the video feed. You can analyze the camera stream that's coming out of the camera to do overlays, like you could do virtual reality or games with an extensibility point like this. Or you can build real-time communication and collaboration applications. We're going to talk about these two in a bit in more detail. Or you can implement some custom file output file formats if the ones that we're providing for you are not satisfactory. Okay, so here I quickly want to show an app that would need an extensibility point like this. This is an app that is available on the store right now. Oh, the backlight is pretty bad. As you can see, it's using the video feed coming and then allowing the user to blow up the bowls. I think I'm supposed to blow that one up. So you get the point. So there are apps like this that are available on the store right now. And one way an app like this would enable the scenario could be like this. So we have the Windows Store app at the high level, right? So it's using there's some kind of an app code for this game. It's using the media capture APIs. And there is a camera preview as part of the UI. And all these things are linked to each other, right? So the camera feed is used by the media capture APIs in this case. And what's happening here is when my hand is in the preview, what I want to be able to do is recognize that it's a hand. There is a movement, right? What I would do as an app developer in this case is write a custom component we call Media Foundation Transform, MFT, and insert between the camera and the media capture APIs. I'll show you how to do that. That part is pretty simple. But what's going to happen here is that component is going to talk to the app code to say that there is a hand there and do something interesting. In this case, it's going to blow up the bowls. Now, another scenario that would require some extensibility point is real-time communication scenario. Let's see how that is the topology for that. So pretty much the same thing, but instead of a media foundation transform this time, I would need to insert a media foundation sync. Because what's happening here is what I need is the video bits and the audio bits that is coming from the camera and the microphone after it's being compressed potentially, but I will get to choose what to do with it. It's not going to end up in a file, in which case you provide your custom component that knows exactly what to do with those bits. Now, accessing these extension points are actually pretty easy. We're not going to talk about how to write one of those things, but if you have one of those things, and we actually have samples for these extension points, but the way you specify it is you go to the app manifest and declare the path for where the binary is living, in this case, your custom mft.dll, and then you give a name to it, right? Microsoft.samples.yourcustommft. And in the app code, all you got to do is add to the manager with an add effect async call. The media type in this case is the preview. Remember, the feed was coming from the camera. So I added the effect or the extension point to the preview. And then I'm done. OK, so a couple of interesting facts about extensions and important ones. They are native C++ COM media foundation components. We believe that processing image and video and even audio in some cases require a lot of resources and will be done best natively. Now, they are always packaged with your app, so you don't ever have to worry about where they are. But more importantly, they are also always local to your app. So no other application will be able to use these extension points or you know, have to worry about the system being clouded with some of these extension points. So when you uninstall the app, these extension points also go away. Now, most of the time, when you're using the Capture APIs, the defaults for audio will work for you. But there will always be cases where, for a very unique scenario, you might need to figure out more about the audio capture pipeline and might need to customize and keep an eye on it. And so in Windows 8.1, we introduced some new functionality for you to be able to do that. So these are audio effects APIs. And the way you would go around using this is some kind of a logic like this. You would say there is a configuration that is already active in the system, right? So every system will potentially be different. There might be a case where, you know, echo cancellation is enabled in one system, whereas in some another system, it may not be available. If you take the example of the real-time communication scenarios, for example, it is very crucial for you to know whether echo cancellation is already in the pipeline so that you don't have to do it again in your app. Or you want to be able to do it if the system doesn't enable it by default. What you don't want is for both of them to be turned on, in which case you're guaranteed to have echo. So what you want to be able to do with these APIs first is understand the active processing configuration. And then if the active processing configuration is not working for you, you will have the option of opting out from this active configuration and choose a raw mode, which will allow you to do in-app processing and whatever you want to do at that point. Now, if you happen to go with the default settings, you also, through these APIs, will have the option of monitoring the active state and any changes in these active states. So this will allow you to react to user, for example, going ahead and changing a bunch of settings, adding new effects, and so, you know, messing up your scenario. You will be able to react to those using the audio effects APIs. Let's see some of these in code. First, I want to define a couple of shorthands. OK, what I want to do is figure out the effects. In order to do that, I create an effects manager. And in this case, I specify an audio device role of communication and get a device that will give me also the effects for that device. And I also specify the default processing because first I want to start understanding what is turned on by default. And then all I'm going to do is just create a list out of this and go through the list and figure out what is there. In this case, I'm looking for acoustic echo cancellation as well as the noise suppression. So my point could be here that if those things are already enabled, I'm not going to do them again. Or if they are not, I want to do them. So let's say I'm happy with what I have. Creating a session is actually pretty easy and similar to what we have already covered with the media capture APIs. One difference here is that I'm going to specify a communication category because that's the scenario that I have with the capture in its settings and give that as a parameter into the initialize stage of the session. Now, how do I opt out of this default processing so that I can do my own? First, I want to push raw processing supported into an array, get the device info through enumeration. And the interesting part really is here, where I retrieve these settings and check if raw processing is supported, right? If it is, I simply want to turn it on. Now, if I turn it on, what's going to happen? Remember, we were talking about the real-time communication scenarios. This is our pipeline. But we're talking about mic and audio, so let's add that to the pipeline. What I'm going to do in this case is I'm going to do my own echo cancellation, right? And I want this to happen even before the bits come to the media capture APIs. And so I will insert my own media foundation transform between the mic and the media capture APIs, and I'm good to go. Now, I'm good to go until something else changes the active state in the system. Now, the way I can handle this is I will register a manager so that anytime the audio effects are changed, that manager or that function is going to be called. And then, again, I'm going to go through the effects that are available and see if there's a change to the configuration that I started with. Okay, so finally, I want to share some tips for camera functionality in apps. These are some wide range of things that we've seen, a collection of stuff that are going wrong when you try to write an app, and especially if you're not using the camera capture UI, which is the default control, but you wanted to customize that and write your own session. So the most important thing, really, is handling your app when the app goes to the background. And the reason this is important, or this happens, is because the camera is an exclusive resource. So an application will not be able to hold on to the camera if it goes to the background. We want to be able to play nice with our app, with the other apps. So you will lose this resource when your application goes to the background. And so you will need to reinitialize. But there are really simple ways of doing this. You can simply listen to the playback manager events, and those events will tell you when that happens, so you know when to reinitialize again. Now, privacy is a concern, so you're not going to be able to, from your app, start a capture session while you are in the background, while your application is in the background. But there are exceptions to that, and there are scenarios that we would need to enable, like the communication apps. And in those cases, you can specify to be a communication app, and you'll be able to get around this. Couple more tips here. So this happens a lot. So our default settings for photos or videos are great, but there are times, as we said, you might need to change these settings. And if you are specifying your own resolutions, you should be careful about matching the aspect ratio of the preview. If it is 4:3, you better have the pictures to be 4:3 too. So if you're changing one, don't forget the other, is my point here. Another functionality that we added in 8.1 is being able to change the resolution, the output resolution, dynamically on the fly. So let's look at an example. This happens all the time, right, with real-time communication applications. The network conditions vary greatly. Even if they don't, most of the real-time communication apps, they start quite conservatively, and then they see if there is more bandwidth available, they'd like to jack it up and start getting better and better quality. Well, the problem with this is that in Windows 8, when you specify the bitrate in some of these settings, you wouldn't be able to change these things on the fly. Well, you could. What you would need to do, though, is close the session and reopen. Now, that obviously creates a glitch in the video feed, which is not a good user experience, especially if you have to do that repeatedly over and over again, varying according to the varying conditions. With this dynamic resolution support, you'll be able to do that no problem. The other thing to be careful about is, again, if you have your own custom UI and not using the camera capture UI, you've got to be careful for whether there's a default mirroring in the video feed already. This is actually, if the device that you're testing on is one way or another, you may forget to do this. But you should just be aware of the fact that the devices actually do declare this capability. It's part of the media capture APIs. All you got to do is check if it is there. Now, if it is there, what you do with orientation is reverse of what you would do if mirroring wasn't there. Okay, some more functionality that is available for you. These are really read-only capabilities, but they will help you in some ways. So if you would like to enable the scenario of taking pictures while recording video, well, you can go to the media device capabilities and check if the hardware declares this. And the other read-only parameter that we have for you is field of view. There could be a lot of reasons why you would like to know the angle of the field of view of the camera, and it's slightly different from system to system. So knowing that angle will help you to enable scenarios like panorama, because the algorithms behind these things would need to know the right angle that changes from system to system. Okay, so in summary, we talked about a brand new feature called photo sequence that will allow you to never miss the right moment by providing you alternative versions of the picture that you intended to take before and after the trigger time. And you have a wide variety of options here by specifying how many past pictures or future frames you want to get, as well as the resolutions. Some helper functions like what is the number of frames that you can do at that given moment, depending on the light conditions. We built some quick apps using the basic media capture APIs. We talked about some of the new controls that we have that will allow the users and you as a programmer to fine-tune the experience. And then finally, we talked about the custom components and how you would be able to write those. I urge you, if you're interested in this portion, the customizing and extending the APIs, to check out the media capture sample that we have since Windows 8 and still there to check out how it is done. We have a wide variety of effects and scenarios that you would simply be able to start from that code and customize it for you, what you want to be able to do. So you don't have to write everything from scratch. We talked about how we can fine-tune the capture pipeline, so if your scenario requires that. We share some additional tips for camera applications. Now, there are a couple of related sessions that I'd like to point out, both of which happen to be already over. But creating apps that use video and audio that Gabe presented before this session, it will be online. Please check that out. That is the basis for a lot of the APIs that we have over here. After you record a video, you want to be able to play and do something interesting with it. That information will be very useful for you. And also check out what we have from a Windows runtime perspective in 8.1. There's a very good overview session. It's being recorded. And I've actually seen the earlier versions of the demos that they were doing that was really, really useful. Further reading, go to the Developer Center and check out the white papers that we have and the descriptions of the APIs capturing photos and videos. While you're there, you can also take a look at the audio and video functionality. Tomorrow, I will be having an office hour at 11 o'clock. So if you have any specific technical questions, please come to the expo area and we can discuss more. And now I will be here. So if you have any questions, we can discuss. I have a couple of my team members over here, too. If you have media-specific questions, we are all here. And thank you very much.